Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
Joe at RT.ie. Now, the report, you've heard it being mentioned before in Liveline, historical sexual abuse and scouting. The report by Ian Elliott, the child safeguarding expert, a learning review has been released today, and it's pretty damning to say the least about. We heard on this programme of allegations that former senior scouts were engaged in sexual abuse of children. And indeed, we had a number of families who contacted us and spoke openly about named individuals that had abused their siblings or indeed their children. And the report says that sexual offenders dominated the leadership of scouting bodies for decades. There was no concern, almost complete absence of any concern for the young people that were abused. And it's a pretty damning report. Now, this is commissioned by Scouting Ireland itself, but it's a pretty damning report. Files gone missing. It raises the issue, negative culture, cronyism, cliques looking after each other. It raises the really serious issue, not just of abuse, which is horrific, but were there people colluding at the top in scouting at one stage to protect each other? Now, Colm Brachan has been on this programme before. Colm, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's this day mean for you, Colm, this damning report?
It's a mix of emotions, Joe. I'm it's one step forward in a way, but in another way, I'm fuming as well. Hmm. In the fact that other leaders had to know that this was going on.
Okay.
And they basically, the abuse was going on, and they protected these people. They're as bad as the abusers.
In your case, the scout leader David O'Brien was sentenced to a number of years in prison for abuse and assaults on four boys between January 1972 and 1981.
Yeah.
The process of reporting, Colm, obviously you reported to the Gardaí, that's why the scout leader ended up in prison. But were you listened to within the scouting movement before that?
Joe, I never went. I never complained to the scouting movement.
Okay.
Because I was too afraid. I was too young.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 12, 13 years of age. I'm 52 now. So it's nearly 40 years ago. And things weren't talked about like this, as you know yourself. In that era. So I kept it to myself, and I fought my own demons for many years.
And Ian Elliott reveals in his report, to date, 321 alleged victims, and Scouting Ireland said they believe the victims, so let's call them victims. 321 victims have been identified, and 247 alleged perpetrators. Now,
yeah.
some of this could be young person on young person. I understand that,
yeah.
But that's outside the that accounts for 470 victims. So there's 300 and nearly 400 victims, but 247 alleged perpetrators is some number.
It's an amazing number, Joe, and to me, it's a lot more than that. Victim-wise, O'Brien openly admitted to he sexually abused 60 kids.
Oh, God.
That's one person who abused 60 kids. He got myself, Paul and Dave went forward.
Mm-hmm.
Three other lads didn't wait around on him to we did.
Yeah.
And he got 6 years for that. He was given a year and a half suspended sentence, and he served 4.5 years. And just before his 4.5 years were up, another four victims of his came forward, and he was given another 6 years. So, you know, I think he's 67 years of age now. He probably won't see outside this prison. But what gets me, Joe, this is one step forward what Peter Elliott has done.
Yeah.
The justice system has to change. The convictions have to change, because I had my second abuser, also a scout leader, James Letty Sr. I had him in court. I cased this man for about 8 years in and out of court. I finally got me 3 days in courtroom back in December 2019. I stood up on the stand. His barrister berated me, called me a liar.
Yeah, okay. Colm, first of all, have you introduced a name I hadn't heard of? Was that man convicted?
He was, Joe, but this is the slump. He was convicted. He didn't challenge any of it. He played the system for 10 months. He was meant to be jailed on February of 2020. He played the system. He a probation report, psychiatric report.
Mm-hmm.
Then it finally came to October, just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Find him told he's going to be sentenced. He's given 8 months. He abused me. He was found on 4 counts of abuse at different times. He was given 8 months. 5 were suspended. He ended up serving 2 months. 2 months. And that was in October. And my wife said to me, Colin, he'll be in jail for Christmas. He was let out on the 10th of December. He served 2 months and destroyed my life. And he gets 2 months for it. The whole justice system has to change for these. I ended up in Vincent's and everything. Like my whole, I see these people who protect these abusers. I don't know how they sleep at night, because I don't sleep at night, and I still don't sleep at night. I've got some sort of justice on the O'Brien and Lady thing, but I still don't sleep at night. It still haunts me, and that affects everyone around me, because it's how my mood swings.
Yeah. Oh, when you say Vincent, you don't mean the hospital here in Donnybrook. You mean the psychiatric.
Yeah,
that's a brilliant place, but still, you're not in a good place when you go in there. I know that, but it is a brilliant organisation. Colm, stay with us, because I know David Smith was one of the brave, and I include in that the people who wish to maintain their anonymity who came forward. But David Smith is in the USA, and he was also abused by this scout leader, David O'Brien. But David, you comment on the report if you wish, which vindicates everything you and Colm and Paul and your families indeed have been campaigning on for years. But David, did you report your abuse to any other body in the state?
I reported my abuse. Hi, Joe. Sorry.
How are you, Dave? Yeah.
Hey, Colin. I reported my abuse in 2002. I got to the stage where I needed to do something about it, so I wrote a letter to Scouting Ireland and to the Attorney General of Ireland, because I didn't know who else to write to.
Paul O'Toole. Paul, you're another one who took on the system, so to speak, and got this man sent to prison. What's your reaction to the report, Paul?
Joe, good afternoon, and how are you, Colin? How are you, Dave? How in the States? Haven't spoken to Dave in a while. I just read it now, Joe. I only got it about an hour ago, and I started reading through it, and my blood boiled. It started to come up with kind of this rage of just word after word of, to me, it's insult, it's nonsense, it's toothless. It's a degradation of ourselves again. It's almost like, I'm not going to say re-abusing us, but in a way, that's what's happening. Because when you turn to the authorities and look for help, and you find, you go to court and you get some justice there against the individual, but when the organisation is still under the protective arm of its own silence, it's beyond...
I've heard the new chief scout and the new people arguing that it's the governance, and Ian Elliott argues as well that the governance has changed. But he also makes the point that there was cronyism still evident while he was doing his report. This is so damning that it will bring about... Now, they say they've changed already, but will bring about change that will be scrutinised?
Well, you can scrutinise all you want and change the organisation. But I think the bottom line, I don't speak for anyone, I speak for myself. I want to see names. I want to see arrests. I want to see handcuffs. I want to see people in prison. But that's the only thing. And if you read through the thing, it talks about how scouts have changed, and we want everyone to trust the scouts. How can you trust the scouts when they won't even open up? They're hiding files, they're burying files, they've done it for years. And
Ian Elliott also says there are a number of individuals he interviewed who seem to suffer from memory loss.
Yeah.
And he also says individuals who were suspected or known to be sex offenders gained positions of power within scouts and became largely impregnable.
It's a non-statutory investigation.
So was it a commentator I was reading, this is before today, said there should be a public inquiry. You're calling for a Garda inquiry.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. A criminal investigation. Here's the thing. Every word is loaded against us and for them. Scouting Ireland examined the incidents of sexual abuse that is believed to have happened. Mm-hmm. That's word, that's first sentence. It's believed. We put people in prison. It didn't. We don't believe it happened. It did happen. That was a, that's the first sentence. The second mm-hmm. sentence. If the intention is not to allocate blame to specific individuals, it's all about blaming individuals and getting them. If you have a system of justice, law and order, law, once the law is broken, to restore order, you must have punishment. And to get punishment, as individuals, call it what you want, blame or anything, and to fully acknowledge the mistakes that have been made previously. They can acknowledge all the mistakes they want. That won't change the culture. And if the culture is still cover up, well, then the organisation, in my view, is still covering up for itself. And it can't be trusted. I hate to say that. I loved Scouts. Mm-hmm. And I still, to some, I would never say anything bad about the good stuff that happened in Scouts. It was a brilliant organisation. But if you want Scouts to survive, they have to come out, and people have to come out and be brave enough to say, name people and come up with incidences and go into police stations and file reports and give statements.
But Ian Elliott does say this does not have a statutory basis. It was set up by Scouting Ireland themselves. But he also says, given that it was set up by Scouting Ireland, and obviously Scouting Ireland said to all its leaders, please cooperate. He can't force you to cooperate. But he says, it also must be said that in the opinion of this reviewer, some of those that contributed provided only a limited amount of information and had more to tell, but did not see fit to do so within this process. Whether this is a result of memory loss or some other factor cannot be determined. In some cases, the time periods involved stretch over decades. They're definitely, everything you say, the three of you, is pointing to a serious Garda investigation.
Absolutely.
In terms of cover-up, in terms of not only who did, who abused, but who protected abusers are indeed... did away with files, or files have gone missing. Some files were kept in some people's houses, believe it or not, even such a serious nature as this. Colm, I'll come back to you, and I'll just do a round up of the three. Colm, you tell me what you want to happen next.
Oh, this has to be blown wide open, Joe. People who protected these abusers, you're just as bad as them, and they have to be named and shamed, as Pa said, locked up, handcuffs, all that. Everything, and Scouting Ireland have to come out and admit it. You know, we got two paedophiles locked up, and yet, you know, they never got in touch with me to acknowledge it.
Okay.
So, and as I said, everyone has to be held accountable.
Okay, but we have to let due process and fairness take place. As I say, victims 356. Plus an extra 70, so to speak, who were abused while they were in the Scouts, but they were abused by young people their own age, and 275 alleged perpetrators. This is shocking. That's perpetrators. What about those who covered up? Paul O'Toole, Paul, you're adamant that the Gardaí need to go through this file and go through this report and take serious action.
I think they need to bring people in and put them under oath and get depositions from them under the penalty of perjury if they lie or don't give a full account of themselves. Because there's no point going in and asking someone without any threat of legal action hanging over their head. And like it said in the report, the people volunteered this information on the basis that it will help to as a learning review. It's about learning. This review is all about learning and going forward. You hear that in politics all the time. We learn from our mistakes and we move forward. The only way to learn is to find out the depth, like the first step in any recovery is realising that you have a problem. And if you don't realise the problem and the depth of the problem, well, then you can't move forward. And there is no moving forward on this. And I just draw your attention to one word in the second sentence here. It's to allocate to acknowledge the mistakes that have been made. I read that word mistake and I'm thinking, this is not a mistake. This is criminality of the worst possible kind to the most innocent children in this country. Yeah. And if you think it's a mistake, no, a mistake is when you're born toast. When you rape a child, you can't equate that and put the word mistake in the same word, in the same sentence. It's an absolutely damning report against Scouting Ireland and against Ian Elliott.
Well, it's not
with his limited review.
Yeah, but he was operating, in fairness, and I know things are upsetting to say the least. But yeah. Ian Elliott, in fairness, is well, very well regarded and an expert. He's not just an opinion maker, but he our former. Yeah. But he also said he operated within certain parameters. It wasn't the statutory. Yeah. It wasn't the statutory inquiry. But I'm looking up. Ian Elliott gives historical case studies. Obviously, they're anonymized. For example, one abuser who, again, he was reported and nothing done. He would give alcohol to the young scouts and then would rape them. It was reported to the reviewer, Ian Elliott, that when Subject B died, the chief scout at the time asked that a guard of honour be formed for the funeral. However, when he approached people to participate, none would agree. This would indicate that knowledge of Subject B's alleged abuse was more widely known than is currently admitted to. Subject C was a scout leader and played a part in setting up a new scout group, which was based in a college. He was drawn to young boys and sought opportunities to be in their company. He was a priest and later emerged. He had his interest in young boys involved a desire to have sexual involvement with this. His sexual activities were eventually brought to the attention of his superiors, one of whom wrote a detailed letter to the headquarters of the scouts. Included were the letters from five of C's victims. They were all young teenage boys who described sexual assaults of them happening at scouting camps. The letter from Subject C's superior, i.e. In the clerical world, who was also a priest, obviously, appears to have been held outside any official filing system when it was received. There is no record of it being filed. Subject C was asked to leave scouting, but there's no evidence and no record of him having done so. Subject C continued to access young people, and it's reasonable to assume he continued to cause them harm as a result. After a period of 20 years, Subject C was complained of to the Gardaí. We presume this is from one of his, he had a hierarchical, so to speak, superior and the scout superior, because he was a scout leader. Subject C was complained to the Gardaí and charged with several counts of alleged assault. He was never tried for these as he took his own life and the trial never took place. But there it is. And then final blow, and you don't need any more hammer blows, lads. An examination of the records held within the scouting headquarters at Larchill would find no reference to the existence of the letter from the college or the written statements, which have been sent to them, obviously, from the young boys who all alleged they were abused by Subject C. So there is an enormous amount of questions. In one sense, Ian Elliott, in fairness, his report raises more questions. It's 40 pages long. Yeah. It raises more questions than answers at this stage. David Smith, finally, you're saying Gardaí now. That's where this report has to go.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you've just, between yourself and Paul, you've just listed all the reasons within the report that suggest that there is enough evident right now to warrant a full Garda investigation. Those people who were complicit are guilty of crimes, not just the predators themselves. We know that, and unfortunately, maybe we won't get to prosecute a lot of them. Maybe they took their lives, some of them are too old, who knows. But it has to go to the legal process now.
Okay.
I think the Irish people should demand that there is now a full investigation into this and that a full accountability for all the actions.
Okay. It's a trite thing to say, but I don't think we will have an account of the world we now live in, but if we did have People of the Year awards, and I know it's put a grain of sand in recognition of the Sahara amount of work you've all done, but I think Colin Bracken, Paul O'Toole and David Smith's name should be on each one of those plaques this year. Look after yourselves. That's Colin, Paul and David Smith. 51551, please wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Okay, and remember, there's no, in this report, Ian Elliott doesn't name any names, so we can't assume to identify people in positions of power. They're not named, and people there are many. I think he says it in the report. There are many, many good people at the higher echelons of scouting in Ireland as well. So I want to bring Paul Broderick in. Thanks, Grace. Thanks, Emily. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Are you currently a scout leader?
Well, up to the time they've closed, though, yes. They were obviously all on sabbatical at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's what
but,
I mean.
Yeah, very much an active member of Scouting Ireland.
Have you managed to read Ian Elliott's report, which was commissioned by Scouting Ireland?
I have managed to read some of it, Joe. No, I was in the middle of reading it at lunchtime when I saw the news coming through and I heard your intro with Ronan for the show earlier on, and that prompted me to go onto the journal.ie and read through as much as I could of it in that amount of time. But what prompted the text message to you was, and I'm conscious even when I'm saying this, Joe, that anything that I'm saying here, I'm not trying to belittle or to condone or in any way excuse what went on in the past, but one of the things that was mentioned by one of the contributors in the opening part of the show was the fact that he mentioned Scouting Ireland in 2002. Scouting Ireland didn't exist in 2002, so it is one of the legacy organisations that he was talking about. I think that's a very important distinction to make. In terms of that, I mean, I was a Cobham Scout back in the 70s and 80s myself. My children continue to be involved in it to this day. I joined the organisation as a leader in 2005. I've gone through all the safeguarding, the guarded vetting, all the bits and pieces. It's a different organisation to what would have been done back in those days. And again, I'm very conscious in saying that you know, I'm not in any way trying to excuse condone. I certainly don't.
And Anne Griffin, I think she was speaking, CEO of Scouting Ireland, speaking on the 1 o'clock. Said the findings were deeply shocking, and she's also quoted by Jack Power, who did an awful lot of work on this at the Irish Times. Deeply shocking, deeply distressing. Scouting Ireland, she says, is a very different organisation today. But do you think this report, should it go? Some people are now calling for a public inquiry, which means years, which means an inordinate amount of money, and lots of headlines and showboating. But should it go to a public inquiry or to a Garda inquiry?
I'm not altogether sure on that, Joe, because and what can be gained out of it. And certainly, in one of the items in Ian Elliott's report, he does say that he's unsure as to what, if anything, would be actually gained by actually having an inquiry of any type further than what he's actually done. Now, I know that maybe the people that suffered at the hands of these
victims we've had on are adamant they want the Garda inquiry.
And I can understand that, but the other thing that I picked up on as well is that one of the contributors there mentioned his age, and he's the same age as myself. Mm-hmm. And I would, like, these people would have been at least, I would imagine, 15 to 20 years older than me, put them in their 70s. Some of them have passed away, which were mentioned in the report. I'm not sure whether any of them are any of the others mentioned of the list. Are actually surviving members, are surviving, you know, in this day and age. Certainly not members, and I would hope they're not members currently to this day. But, you know, I'm not altogether sure what, if anything, could be gained other than, you know, if it helped. And certainly it's not a question of money. And, I don't think that should enter into it.
When Catherine Sapone, it's about 2 years now, remember the whole issue of whether you would send your child on a scouting trip. How did that...
Joe, I think, and I have to take my hat off to the parents. I can say this, I think, for all groups, but every group is responsible for themselves. But certainly in my experience and our experience in Bandon, the parents of the children have been absolutely fantastic to us.
Yeah. It's obviously a very upsetting time, Paul.
It is.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I've given, you know, and there are many others have given a lot more of their lives than I have. And are on the sidelines of this as well, and like, it's very, very difficult for anybody who is, you know, involved in youth groups, not just scouting, but in the particular context of today, it's scouting. Like, it would kill me if something like that was to go on within our own group.
Yeah, I understand. I think.
For the most part, I know, like, we're talking about this in the context of the 80s and 90s, and we know what went on with the church and all the rest of it, me and Elliot's background in the church inquiries and all the rest of it. And, like, yeah, it was rampant then, and people didn't have the access to media and social media and know as much as they know now. They certainly didn't know back then, you know, and people were held in positions of respect because of, you know, their jobs, their positions, whatever they were in the community, and wouldn't and couldn't be questioned. Whereas now we question everything and question everybody, and rightly so.
And I take your point, and it's as you say, it's not to dilute any of the suffering of the victims, but
as
we all know, I had a lot of contact, especially with the Sea Scouts. They're incredible leaders, and all volunteers, the ones I knew, all giving their own time, Just brilliant. Anyway, I take that point, Paul. But I, this report is, as I say, raises more questions than answers. Paul, you
have a lot of questions, Joe. Yeah, and I'm going to go home now tonight. I was trying to read that on my phone earlier on. I'm going to go home now tonight. And one of the first things I'm going to do after my dinner is actually read the report.
Okay.
Because I have actually engaged directly with Ian Ellis back a number of years ago on a couple of matters in regards to this. So, I mean, I'm very interested in child welfare, child safeguarding, to make sure that we as an organisation are doing everything that we should be doing.
Okay.
I do believe we are. I do believe that changes may, they're not reflected in this report because a lot of this report is historical. But in the last 2 years, since the main body of this report was actually produced, there have been huge changes within the organisation.
Okay. Okay.
And the structures and the governance and everything else. There's the amount of work that's gone in from people left, right and centre to this, and the whole group actually voting for this change, which was a huge, huge, big deal, and agonised over.
Okay.
Not because it was, you know, a question of the right or wrong thing to do. You know, it was seeing a huge change in the organisation, a huge cultural shift, which we all knew that had to be done, but like, to me, we did was a huge task and undertaking for people that are volunteering their 2 hours.
Volunteer, I'm very conscious of that.
As we joke about, because it's never 2 hours a week.
It's never, no.
We do a lot more than that.
Paul, thanks indeed, and thank you for your service continuing in the scouting movement, and you look after yourself and stay well. That's Paul Broderick, 51551, wash your hands.